Thank you, Rabbi Blazer, for giving me that excuse. Now, normally they say it's like not good style to get up and say, you know, I didn't have so much time to prepare, so, you know, but it's good you said it for me. So, so this week's Parsha Shalach, we have the Maisa with the Meraglim, and there's a lot of things that need to be answered about the Maisa with the Meraglim. I'd like to address two issues, two ha'aras I had, or probably everybody had, on the Maisa with the Meraglim. First of all, the first thing that jumps out at me is I understand there was a chet, and I understand there was a lack of betachin, but it was that bad. It was that bad that literally not only was the Dor HaMidbar, were they not zaycha to ever enter Eretz Yisrael, but we have that very, very strong and harsh lashon of Chazal in Masechtas Tainis, and I don't know by heart, my hard drive is full of the exact lashon, I'm sure, that the Baruch Shalom said, you're going to be a baycha, a b'chiyas chinam. Now there's going to be a bechia, because this is going to be a bechia ledoros. So like, not as is bad enough that because of this chet, because of this lack of betachin, now Klal Yisrael is not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. But really, this chet becomes probably has the greatest ramifications of any chet ever in the history of Klal Yisrael. Saying maybe the only thing comparable we would think about is the Chet HaEgel. But if you look at the Chet HaEgel was Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The Chet HaMeraglim is Tisha B'Av. The Chet HaMeraglim must have been substantially even more grave of a Chet than the Chet HaEgel, because you see what the ramifications are. I think it's pretty safe to say that any single tzara that Klal Yisrael has today is a result that really dates back, could be attributed to the Chet Meraglim, because we know everything that happens to us, every tzar that happens to us in Galus is a result of the Churban, and really the Churban is a result of the Chet Meraglim. So I just wanted to understand, like, what was so, and we all understand there was a Chet, and what was so terrible about this Chet that the ramifications were such. And the second thing I want to address is that Chazal. And the Chazal, it sounds very it sounds like there's like a mida kenegan mida almost. It sounds like, you know, like Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, you know, I got you. Like you cry for nothing, I'm really gonna give you something to cry about now. And it sounds very poetic in a way. But really, why is this a mida kenegan mida? Because you cry for nothing, now I'm going to give you something really to cry about. Like, how do we understand that Chazal? You know, again, it sounds very poetic, but what is the mida kenegan mida going on over here? So I just wanted to start off by saying that on one level, that we see that any time in our history, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us an opportunity for a transition, to go from one place to another place. There was always, the Ribbono Shel Olam always put in front of us some opportunity to prove ourselves. And only after we proved ourselves were we able to get to the next level. We had to always take the first step through our history. Like we see with when we left Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the first had to be a Korban Pesach. We first had to take the seh and bring it in front of the Mitzrim, whose deity it was, and it wasn't good enough that it couldn't be boiled, it had to be roasted, everybody had to be able to smell it, it had to be, right, we had to take that chance. We always had to take a chance for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we took that chance, and where did that get us? That got us Yetzias Mitzrayim. The next step, the Yom Suf is in front of us. Right, the Ribbono Shel Olam made us wait in front of the Yom Suf until what happened? Until we had Nachshon Ben Aminadav, he comes. It's not going to split until someone first takes that first step. Until someone first comes ahead and goes and he takes the first step and he goes into the Yam Suf. And only then, after he takes the first step, does the Ribbono Shel Olam cause a Kriyas Yam Suf. Then we see by Kabbalah Satara the same thing. By Kabbalah Satara, in order for us to be Zoicha to that tremendous Madrega of an Am Yisrael that and that's Makabah the Torah, it wouldn't have been good enough for us to say, okay, one second, we have to hedge our bets over here, right? We can't just jump into things. First, we had to say Anas of an Ishmael. There always had to be, in order to get to the next step, we always had to take the first step. And only after we take the first step would the Baruch Hashem say, okay, now you're Zeichel, now it could grab you and take you and bring you to the next level. And Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael made it all the way up until they got to Eretz Yisrael. And we got to Eretz Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shalach Lecha. Right, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, at this point, you know, Klal Yisrael, really what they should have done is forget Meragim, forget spies. I know the normal way a person fights a war is they send in spies, but everyone saw the Nisim. Really, the way for them to be Zeicha to Eretz Yisrael is they have to take that first step. They didn't. They said we need Meraglim. So Shalach Lecha, please, I want to give them another chance to prove themselves. So send the Meraglim. Let's hear what they have to say. And hopefully what they'll do is they'll still take that first step. I'll give them another chance to be Meiser Nefesh, take that first step. So that could give them, I want to give them Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, this is where they Klal Yisrael failed. This is where Klal Yisrael was not willing to take that first step, and so therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, "It's almost not an einish. I can't give it to them. They can't. They need to do something, and they didn't do that. I can't give it to them, and I can't take them to the next level. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to wander the desert of Arbam. They're going to have to 40 years." And the next star, hopefully the next star will be Zeich. The star they lost their opportunity. It's just a very interesting thing as a side note that we always see throughout Tanakh, we see the number 40 come up. Get a little Kabbalistic. We always see the number 40 come up quite a bit in Tanakh. Maybe we have the in Parshas Noach. Right, we have the rain from the Mabul, 40 days and 40 nights. Right, we have Kabbalah Satara. Moshe Rabbeinu was all hard for 40 days and 40 nights. We have Klal Yisrael on the Midbar, Bam Shana 40 years. We have for Mikvah, it's Mem Saw for Mikvah. Also, you could say that that the weeks of a pregnancy are also. Also, 40 weeks, and the Gemara in Saita says 40 days before Kaidim Yitziras of Lad. You know, that's when the Bas Kol comes out and says, you know, some who's going to marry who. So you see the number 40 very often, and I think the common denominator between all the different places where we find the number 40 is that the number 40, it's always a transition. It's always a transition from one stage of history to the next. We see that. The Mabul transformed everything. The Kabbalah Sotar, of course, transformed everything. The 40 years in the Midbar, I think also we needed a transition. It wasn't we didn't rise to the level of Lamal Min HaTeva. We had to have the 40 years. We had to have a transition. Of course, you see a Mem Saw, same thing with a Mikvah. It takes a person from being Tamei to being Tar, and so on and so forth. So the words, so you see the number 40 always comes up when you see the number 40. There's always seems like there's some transition going on from one place to the next. So this is so in a certain sense. It makes sense why. So I think we can understand with this why Klal Yisrael was not Zeicha to enter Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't an einish. It was they didn't do what had to be done. And in a certain sense, when a person is in a position to be able to do something, when a person is, you know, I'll give a mashal that's maybe it's a very timely mashal. Right, if somebody misses a shot, in the first quarter, okay, not so bad. But if somebody misses a shot at the buzzer, you know, then there's a big einish, right? People are going to be very upset. And I think it's the same thing also, you know, when a person, all, you know, throughout the midbar, when Klal Yisrael, when they commit, okay, it was bad. But over here, mamish, here's the opportunity. It's the end of the fourth quarter. They're mamish going into, getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they drop the ball, right? So then there would be a greater einish in that case. But I also want to touch on something deeper, and that is this chazal that tells us that because you are baicha b'chia shel chinam, so therefore there will be a b'chia l'doros. So I want to understand that chazal. Understand why it makes sense, because we cried, then now forevermore until Bias Goyal Mashiach, we're always going to have to cry. And now, unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, we have many, many real things to cry about. So I want to understand, I don't want to get like too psychological or too, but I just want to understand, what does it mean a b'chia? What does it mean a cry? What's a cry? Why does a person cry? So I think the idea of a cry is, yeah, I once heard a story from Rav Tursky in one of his books. So he said that he had a Rebbe who used to always tell him that you should have a lot of worries in your life. You should always have a lot of worries. So as you can imagine, he was a little bit, you know, puzzled by that. Thank you, Rebbe. Thanks a lot. Why should I always have a lot of worries? You know, it's a bad thing, right? So Rebbe explained. He said no. He says, because I wish you a lot of worries, because every people always have a lot of worries in their life. You know, people, there's always, you know, where are my keys? You know, stress over here, stress over there. Got to pay this bill, got to pay that bill. Where's the money going to come from? Work, home, whatever. There's always worries in your life. Except one, there's only one circumstance where you're not going to have a lot of worries in your life, and that's when something so terrible happens that you're not thinking about anything else, right? Then you only have one worry. When you have one worry, that's a bad thing, because that means that worry is so all encompassing. That concern is so all encompassing that you're not thinking about anything else. I think this is what a b'chia is. This is what a cry is. A cry is, you know, in life we always have stress. You know, there's always stress and tension. But a cry is when something, when we're so completely overcome by something that becomes, everything else fades away, and our entire focus, our entire mind, our entire psyche is completely focused on that thing, on that inyan, on whatever it is. This is what a cry is. I think we could all relate to that idea, and that's why a person could cry when something really, really happy happens. When there's a big simcha, a person could cry, because like everything else doesn't exist. Our entire psyche, our entire being is now focused on this issue, and that means a b'chia, a cry, really what we cry about really defines who we are. Because that's when we cry, when something touches us so deeply that everything else just falls away, and we're only focused on that. And that's what a b'chia is. I think what the Ribono Shel Olam was saying is that Klal Yisrael, you know, throughout the midbar, there were different chatar, and we complained about this, complained about that. But there was always a tension. There was always, we never got to this level of crying. There was always a struggle. There was always, you know, we always have internal tensions and things pulling us one way and things pulling us the other way. But when we heard the words of the Meraglim, Klal Yisrael heard the words of the Meraglim, it touched us so deeply that we actually, there was no struggle anymore. There was no tension. It was, we came to Madrega where we completely succumbed to this emotion, this feeling that Klal Yisrael felt, and they just cried. And they completely gave in. There was nothing, there was no struggling anymore. They completely gave in. And I think, and the Rabbanu Shalom saw that this is not what a person cries about. You know, it's not, you know, there's no joke, it's no faking, it's no, right? Sometimes we don't even know what we want in life. But what we cry about definitely shows what we, you know, a person sometimes they say, yeah, I'm not sure what I want, I'm not sure if I want this, if I want that. But we know for sure when something happens to us or when someone says something to us that makes us cry, okay, we're clear on who we are. We're clear on what we want. We're clear why this is why we're feeling. Doesn't need an explanation. And when the Rabbanu Shalom saw this, he said that it shows something that's so deeply rooted in the psyche of Klal Yisrael that this is something that's going to have to be rectified by thousands of years of history. This is not something that could just be an einish. This is something that goes much deeper than that. This is something that is at the very root of the psyche of Klal Yisrael. And he says, therefore, so what's the answer? How are we gonna help Klal Yisrael? If this is true, that there's something wrong. There's something so deeply rooted in Klal Yisrael. If that's really true, so how do we keep Klal Yisrael? How do we keep them? How do we keep them on the path? How do we keep them straight? How do we keep them? How do I keep Klal Yisrael from completely veering off? Because I see that there's something wrong. There's something wrong, deeply rooted in Klal Yisrael. There's something that has to be. That's always going to have to be done. That's gonna keep Klal Yisrael, push them back on the path. And you know, what is there to be done? You know, there's the famous there's the famous I think it would probably the story is probably told about said in the name of many different gedolim. So I'm not sure which gadolus was this statement was attributed to, but there's a famous statement that, you know, when Klal Yisrael doesn't do kiddush, then the goyim are going to do havdalah, right? When we aren't mekadesh ourselves, so then the goyim are there to keep us in line. The Goyim are going to come ahead and they're going to do Abdallah. They're going to say, if we don't rise above the Goyim, then the Goyim are going to push us up. And that's the pattern throughout history. And this is what the Rabbanu Shalom is telling us. You know, we all know that we get distracted in life. We all know that we, you know, sometimes we don't appreciate certain things that we should appreciate. We don't think about certain things that we should think about. But when something chas v'shalom, rachmana litzlan, happens, that's something real, a real tzara happens. So none of the distractions become an issue anymore. The only way that a person could gain perspective, when a person cries a bechia shel chinam, the only way that a person can really gain perspective on what's really worth crying about, is if they're presented with that thing that's really worth crying about. When there's something comes our way, lolein rachmana litzlan, that's really something to cry about, we all of a sudden realize, oh yeah, that thing wasn't worth crying about. When we see the real thing, that's when the other thing, it becomes clear that the other thing was fake. It reaches us even deeper and we realize that which we felt was something that was very deep, that something that we felt was a tzara. It's meaningless, you know. When a person, I think we all understand that when a person goes through a terrible tzara, you know, all the little things in life become the little things that we sometimes sweat and sometimes become anxious about. And sometimes, you know, when a person's going through a real tzara, they don't, like, even eating, it just feels so mundane. know, to eat food at a time like this, it becomes so mundane. You know, forever, like been at a terrible levaya, a terrible tzara, come out like, who, you know, who could eat? Who could eat at a time like this? And I think that's also like a shtickle of varner tainus. It's like, how could you eat? You know, how could you want to eat when such a thing happens? It's like, who could think about eating? Who could think about such mundane things when you're focusing on something that's so real, that affects us so deeply? And this is what I think that the bechia ledoros is. The bechia ledoros is counteracts the bechia schinam, because the only way a person could understand and gain perspective on what's a bechia schinam and what's a bechia ledoros, something really worth crying about, is if Nebuch, we're presented with that thing that's really worth crying about. And the Rebbe Shalom is saying, this is the tool that I'm going to have to employ, that I'm going to have to use throughout history, unfortunately, because I see that there's bechias chinam. I see that this is something that's part of the psyche of Klal Yisrael. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to use a bechia ledoros. I just wanted to finish off by saying that, you know, this is a concept I think that's very prevalent throughout our lives, is that we don't recognize and we don't feel the good that we have until we're faced with until we don't have it anymore, and only then do we realize, do we gain perspective on what we did have. And you know, when I was living in this community for, I think it's been almost 4 years now, and Baruch Hashem, life was good. You know, I'm just starting to, as you know, I have one foot out the door, I'm starting to feel a little bit like, you know, hey, one second, you know, I'm gonna be missing, you know, I'm gonna be missing that friend, I'm gonna be missing the kollel, I'm gonna be missing, you know, that shir that I used to go to, I'm gonna be missing that, and I'm starting to gain this perspective that, you know, this hakara, that you know, how good this community has been to me, and how much I'm really gonna miss this community. So I just wanted to thank everybody who's made our time here, you know, so successful and lifted us up and you know, brought us to this stage where we're ready to move on, next stage in our life. But we'll always miss those people and in the community that made our time here so enjoyable and so uplifting and inspirational. Right.